First of all, the first thing that anyone ever asks us as board members about these meetings is the person speaking going to tell us about a near-death experience? Because that's, I mean, we don't care about anything else. And that's usually the bottom line. Yolaine, who is the president of the International Association of Near-Death Studies, is not only the president, but she herself is an NDE. She will talk to you tonight about her experience, and I'll tell you a little bit about her. But first I want to kind of cover a little bit that I think you might be interested in. The International Association of Death Studies was founded and formed in Hartford, Connecticut by a number of people, one of them being Dr. Kenneth Ring, who wrote the wonderful book Lessons from the Light. I know many times people here will take notes about books they would like. If there's any book that is profound and very in-depth about near-death experience, Lessons from the Light, which has just been re-released by Kenneth Ring, the new foreword, and Yolaine was very involved. So she not only president and in the NDE, but was my dear friend, Kenneth Ring. But I highly recommend it. Lessons from the Light, Dr. Kenneth Ring. Phenomenal. Again, a number of people put together an association. Study near-death, give support to near-death experiences, and to have an opportunity out near-death experience. That organization that started in that is called Hartford International. There are chapters all over the world. We are one. And when you link it, she'll cover a little bit, and I hope she'll tell us about Australia, Germany, Denmark, throughout the world. Just phenomenal to think that people meeting just us. That's phenomenal. Cross-cultural. And that's incredible and wonderful. Validity, to my opinion, just awesome. We might chop one of you up and, you know, divide you into this build or something. But can you imagine what it could be like? Such a powerful event that is awaiting. Would it change the way we are? So, let me just tell you. I think, enough of these pamphlets. I have one. So, after the meeting, they are sitting up here on this counter. You can come and get one. This tells about the International Association of Near-Death Studies. And this, an international, is absolutely fantastic. I have been a member for, I think, and you subscribe. And what does, and this pamphlet will tell you about it, what subscribing does that I think is really wonderful. Yet a quarterly letter, it's about 15 pages long, easy, and they usually highlight a new somewhere in the world. So that's what I loved about it. It tells you how you can join. The membership is $35 per year. Also can go on to their website. It tells you their website. And so you can go on and learn more about them. And read the experiences. Read about the research that's being done. Dr. Bruce Grayson is now the head of the Journal of Near-Death Studies. Those of you who've ever done any academic work or research, you recognize that journals are probably powerful ways in the world about academia, about what's going on, what is being validated. And we in IANS, what a powerful influence that you're on here. So please come up and get one of these, and I'm sure you're going to want to go. I will read the rest of the international message to Yolaine and her near-death experience. Let me tell you about Yolaine. She is, as I said, the current president of the Association of Near-Death. I'm going to tell you at one time, because I think when we use these little letters, it really combines IANS, Association of Near-Death Studies. Okay. She herself is an writer. She was an honors graduate from the UC Berkeley School of Education in 1976, which I believe could have caused a suicide. To be at Berkeley in the 70s? Oh my goodness, the poor child. Yeah, well, I said something to someone today, and they said, oh, no wonder she had a near-death experience. I'm sure she'll tell us more about that. But she is obviously a well-educated individual and a very intelligent one. Had a suicidal NDE due to depression over a failing marriage, poor health, and inability to conceive. She was an atheist. Her NDE turned her beliefs about the purpose of and what follows inside. As a result, her NDE and her learning how to tune in, conquer her depression, helped a struggling nonprofit raise several $1 million land for a nature preserve. Actually, she spearheaded this effort and was able to raise $3 million, I would say she wasn't depressed. She had gotten it together. She sees it as her life purpose to help individuals and nonprofits discover the power of vision. Retired from teaching languages 5 years ago to devote herself full-time to this purpose. She is currently finishing a self-help book for people suffering from depression. The book is largely based on lessons from life learned, based upon lessons about life learned in her near-death experience. Wanting to speak to other suicidal NDEers, what led her initially to IANS. They invited her to join the board after hearing of her experience, author of a recent article on 6 major challenges faced by near-death experience, journal for near-death studies, and is collaborating with Dr. Kenneth Ring on a workshop and workbook based on lessons from the world. And she will tell you, you can reach her. Do you want this right now? You ready? www.stout7@cox.net. Get that, or do you want to repeat? No www, just go directly there. It's supposed to be email? Okay, just ystout7@cox.net. Now, I'm not going to take any more time. I just would love you to give Elaine Stout a hand and welcome her to Salt Lake City.
Thank you for bringing me here and to your lovely city of Salt Lake City. I've never been here before. I'm just blown away by the beauty here, the mountains, the snow-capped area. This is phenomenal flying in here. How many of you here have had a near-death experience? I know it takes some time to overcome some fear, to talk about it. I never even told my parents about it. So it takes a long time, if ever, a person admit it to the family or talk about it, much less public. If I get a little nervous, it's because it's due to difficulty of very personal. I talked about it actually 4 or 5 times, largest group. Understand what happened in my ear. I have to talk about what led up to it, my life, and then I'll talk about my NDE, happened, what I learned from it, how it kind of led me to IANS, and we'll talk a little bit about the organization. If we have, I was raised in a happy family. It was very Catholic, very devout Catholic family, and my parents were very loving. That I could see. Started falling apart for me when I started to. My boyfriend found another girl, got very sick, died of peritonitis, had a ruptured appendix half of my senior year hospital. Wasn't experiencing that, and that was during that time my boyfriend left me for 4 years. And it was also at that time that I gave up a bunch of hooey. Things that the priest was saying that I just couldn't resonate when he said, "Never go to heaven." Accept that, and not only could I not accept that, but I would argue with the priest. What do they call that school? Catechism. They had to go to. I have a very stubborn personality, but also a very needy person. A lot of approval, needing a lot of not attention, but a lot of acknowledgement. But that didn't stop me from being pretty aggressive with the priests. And how come, you know, a child born in Africa, they can't help it that they weren't born into a Catholic family. So, you know, does that mean they're going to have to go to hell or to purgatory? I mean, why? They can't help that. And so I had to argue with them. And when they couldn't answer me satisfactorily, I said, oh, heck with this whole religion thing. And heck with the whole God thing. You know what? God is just invented for people who can't make it here, or they just need somebody to something hope to latch onto, and it isn't a problem for the masses. And I you can hear it. I was very cynical, very sarcastic, and so I dumped everything. So that was age 18, where health went to hoop, you know, pot. My boyfriend, my relationship went to pot, and the whole religion fell. So in that state, I met a man from Austria. And he was very similar to me. He was still kind of clinging on to his Catholicism, and I talked him right out of that. You know? So we were we're both kind of cynical about, we both came cynical about that, and I moved to Austria. I thought, well, he's the answer. He's a smart guy. I was always interested in foreign languages, and I became a foreign language teacher, very interested in linguistics and that kind of thing. So this whole aura of a foreign culture and interesting thing, I thought, captivated me in that. Well, that marriage was going downhill as soon as I moved there. It was a mistake for me. Completely different culture. I couldn't relate to that environment very well. It was very difficult. He verbally abusive, and I retreated more into my side to change him. I went into that relationship trying. The more he drew away from me, the more needy I became. Show me you love me. Show me you love me. I need you. And all I really wanted out of life was to be happy. Anybody else. And to me, happiness meant having a husband who loved me, having children who loved me, having students who loved me, a little house and a little garden. And I didn't think that was a whole lot to ask for life. No, I didn't want to be rich and famous. I didn't want to have all the stuff. I just wanted to be happy and have a... Well, none of that was happening. But a husband who was... had become verbally abusive and probably cheating on me, and my health was going down. I was severely anemic and very tired. I was very homesick, far away from my family, and it became more and more difficult. It became when he was no longer responding back with any affection. I didn't know how to deal with it. And being a stubborn person as I was, I didn't want to admit it was a mistake that I had married him. And moving back, in my family, being Catholic, nobody had ever gotten not a thing to do. And so, well, you know, I don't want to admit that I had made a mistake. And maybe there's something to the death do you part thing, you know. I really did take my commitments seriously. And I didn't want to admit that. So I caught myself into a catch-22. You know, I wasn't happy, but I didn't know how to do anything about it. So I began to contemplate suicide, but it wasn't really suicidal until they told me that I was unable to have children. That was like the final, that was the straw. I thought, you know, my husband doesn't love me working out here. But at least if I had children, maybe that'll change him. You know, that's the last hope. That would change him, change us. You know, we'll be happy with children. I didn't, you know, the thing that blocked must be due to that infection you had when you were 18. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I thought, those of you who have been in depression, yes, and how it robs you of energy, and you really can't think logically oftentimes, and you began to contemplate ways to do away with myself. Thought about pills, but I didn't want anything to look like suicide. I didn't want my parents to know that I was so unhappy, much less commit suicide. That was the one thing that enabled them to cope with me being far away from them, was the fact that I was happy. I didn't want to talk to them. So I could not do it in such a way that it would look like hanging was ruled out. Pills might look like suicide. Oh no. I thought of driving the car over the cliff, but no, I didn't want to do a half job. I didn't want to wind up in a hospital somewhere. I thought of jumping off a mountain. No, I'm afraid of heights. No, not afraid of dying, but I am afraid of falling. don't want to do that. And I honestly felt, you know, I did give us the thought, okay, what's going to happen to me when I die? I was absolutely convinced that would be the end of it. All I wanted to do was end my pain. And I honestly thought I would just go into oblivion. I was not afraid of dying. I wanted it. I desperately... And so, okay, that was all ruled out, all these suicidal things. Across this book, described how Native Americans, when they die, would walk off in the forest and will themselves to die. Called autogenic death. And it was actually pretty common. And stubborn as I am, I thought, if they can do it, I
back into it.
This is the way. No evidence. They're just going to find me a way, dead in bed. I have been taking a course, it just so happened, in autogenic training. My husband, at the time, sick and tired of me being sick. And so he said, I think you should take this course in autogenic training because you get by on 4 hours of sleep with this thing. And it's such a training in mind over body, it'll give you more energy. I think you should take it. And I took it because I thought it would be interesting. So I had been taking that course, autogenic training, and then I get this book about autogenic death, and okay, this is the way to go. Autogenic training, if you haven't heard of it, is like a very strict mind over body control. They tell you not to do this in the present, unless you're in the presence of a professional. They use it for training for Olympic athletes. To gain such control over your body that you don't feel pain, that you don't feel, that you're given this energy, that you're becoming like a superman, But it's very strict regimen that you have to follow to gain control body. And I had been practicing that, and it was kind of cool. So I started this every single night for months on end. I am going to get there. I'm going to get there. And I would go through my process group that I felt like I was in a weight. My thoughts are still here. I can't feel my heartbeat. I can't feel my body. I don't, dead weight. My mind is still here. So it's going to happen. Obsessed. Room lit up. I'm nearsighted. These are my bifocals. It lit up. Glasses I could see is greater than 20/20. I could see everything. It was amazing light in my room. And reality here. This is like another dimension. I didn't know if I was dead or not. I wasn't thinking, I just was thinking another reality, another dimension, another way. It was more real. This feels like a dream. So I looked out the window, the sky was blue. Oh my God. Incredible, this is another room. Maybe you don't die after all. Maybe just go on to this. I wasn't thinking heaven. I wasn't thinking God. I was just thinking another reality. I said, got to know about this. This is cool. So I started to get up out of my bed, and I started looking for, I had to find evidence to bring back that this is real. What can I bring back from this? And I started hearing talking. It was all these people talking, and I thought, I'm hearing everybody in this apartment building dreaming. That's what I'll do. I'll go back and I'll wake them up and I'll tell them what they're dreaming. That's what I'll do. But I couldn't. So I tried to listen for my husband's dream and I couldn't think of what else can I bring back. And so I started, get up out of my bed. And other light came in my room. I get difficult. Incredible, loving, infinitely, every part of me. It was golden love, home, so loved, and light left. I was in the state of, and I turned to my side, robes. This didn't surprise me. My robes, and I look up, blue eyes. That's crazy. Lips weren't moving, heard it lightly out of my body. And it was only then I had to wiggle back in, and it was very painful getting back in my body. I want to go back more very briefly, as if to say, we'll always be here for you. It's just left that one message. The way he said the word life, just the way he's precious, precious. Just don't waste it. Say the word precious, so precious. And so what this meant to me. Several years to really process the depth of what that meant. First part, you are there. For me, this is my conclusion on from that excuse, this is what up to me, getting to me, that you are loved, or, I thought of how I had been wasting my life. I weren't loved. That meant I was worthless. Recognize that. He taught me by being in that love that I feel we are all loved. Everyone on this earth is loved. And just the world of the result of people wanting power out there, things out there, degrees out there, and recognition and love and all this stuff out there. Mind, it's like an awash. That's what depression is too. Never enough. Love is never. Well, I mean, that love is in here. Loved. We're loved. And so there's no need to be seeking it out. And the first part, the don't waste your life part, I had purpose. And what was it? Okay, it's not about seeking love. What is it? Okay, duh. It's like, give love. All right. That's what it is. To give love, you have it within you. So share it. And what does that mean? So to me, that meant, I have to step back a little bit. This experience did not cure me of my depression. What cured me of my depression was when I made a decision on my behalf to leave him and start my own life and not waste it. Relationship. I'd gotten into it for the wrong reasons. That choice to commit to a life for myself, that moment, I felt this rush of excitement, this rush of passion that filled me up, and it was like, whoa, it's about passion, for me is another word, and it's this excitement. So for me, passion is the polar opposite of depression. Passion is love. Depression is when you're in a state of giving up. Fought so hard for love out there, or whatever it is out there, couldn't give it, couldn't get what you wanted, and then you get result pity, despair, suffering. Birds of depression, down, dark, and depression, and being in love, and all this, are light, joy, and full of excitement and energy, and wanting to embrace life, because it's... And I even thought, with the... being a language teacher, with this one sentence, thought about what it... when he said, don't waste your life thinking. Now that had meaning too. Waste it. Go out and do something. Go out and do something with gifts, your talents, your whatever it is you love to do. It's love. Share your gifts with the world. And feel this bottom of my heart that we're here. Our purpose in life is to share our gift. Worry about expanding in return. So that was essentially what I've been teaching. To helping students who were frustrated with school, I saw rebellious anger. I got that to coach people out of me. So I started to write a book about the spiritual solution to depression, and I went through what I had been through, Cross Lessons from the Light, has all the answers for me. Talked about this organization, and so I got involved, and I had also been working with organization. How much time have we got to? I would tell a little thing about this person, you know, getting that cosmic 2x4 has left me, okay, I'm pretty open to things. And I had, I got remarried, and I'm very happily now for some and one of the things that we did started was, they were going to build a golf course right across the street from us. And I thought, well, that's so cool, that's cool. You know, my golf, come down and play golf here. But then I read that this golf course was going to be built on 340 acres of rare habitat, and felt it should be preserved. And so I got out there and started talking to the community about all the resources that, you know, if they knew about these resources, they really want a golf course, you know, should be able to choose. And that led into a movement, and it jumped on this and gathered, and it was a paper, and it was in the paper, and so we formed a nonprofit organization to save the land, and I wasn't this public person, okay, but being out there and being a controversial figurehead, no, that was not me. But there was nobody else leading this, and things just kept, no, you've got to do this. I just kept feeling like I was being nudged from behind. Oh, you're the one. You've got to do this. This is up to you. And I go, no, I don't know. But anyway, it wound up, I'm at this board of supervisors meeting, and it was very much like this room, only three times bigger, with the board of supervisors sitting right up there, and me having to go up there and be on television and stuff. And the room was filled with all these angry people that were losing money over this golf course thing. And I got afraid. I was really afraid. I said, I thought I was following what you wanted me to do, God, but so a little much. I said, people are angry. You really want this to be angry, and you really want me to be doing this. I need a sign. It's a sign that I'm doing the right thing. And I got a call from a 12-year-old girl about an hour later after that prayer. The 12-year-old girl called me and said, "Are you Mrs. Stout, the one who's trying to save Wright's Field? I have a poem I feel means to me. How she'd go out there and be a parent, they'd be in a fight, and she'd go out in the bowl and feel safe there. So loved. Not just, you're here to serve. Cosmic 2x4s. So, because of that nonprofit experience, we wound up, people said, okay, even if you could stop that golf course, where are you going to get the money to buy the land? You know how much that's going to cost? It's like millions of dollars. I had no answer. I said, well, if other people do it, we can do it. And they know, we just follow what they do. And they said, okay, maybe we'll see what you do. Sure enough, we raised $3 million and we bought the land. So what that taught me, our action and our power of inspiring organizations, and what I see for IANS is that we could be doing a lot more for people. I'm there to move it to the next level and then go back. But building the infrastructure of the organization, one of my being experiencers, have these major challenges. Any of the speakers you may get up here may have worked through those challenges. That takes years of feeling enough. Are you? You know, it does take some overcoming, or whatever that was that you experienced. It wasn't real. That was your mind playing tricks. Tell that to an experiencer, you'll shut them down. Bathroom. The divorce rate is higher. Suicide rate is not higher. It's from being alien. Job changes have gone from being the businessmen giving away their money. Change. It does a number on your marriages. So I feel like this one avenue that I run, and so I also grow the organization, because it's wonderful in Salt Lake City. You have such a large group of people. Most of the groups are very small, like 5 to 12. You're doing something. This is great. This is really great. You'd be a model for other organizations. Power to your board who worked so hard to do this for you. So, I'd like to open it up for if you have any questions about IANS, about my experience, and the reason that is, I felt this infinite love in this light, expansive, infinite religion, or what path far loved. So, it became more difficult to be Catholic religion where this, you're going to go to hell. And my family, I only told my family about this 3 years ago. It was 1982, so I was 32 years old. I just told them about it 3 years ago, even though I'd started my book, writing about it. I knew at one time I'd come out one way or the other, I don't want to find out some other way. So I had to tell them, and it was painful for them to find out that I had been. So even years old, it still hurt them to hear about that, even though, but they did see the change in me. They were extremely happy that I've enriched, and they still think the NDE word, and they're still Catholic, part of it, my dad's a little, part of it they accept, but there's a part of it.
Let's use the mic so I can get this on tape, because if you guys talk, I can't get it on tape.
Okay, I'll repeat her question, and then...
It's Holden and Dave.
Oh!
If you look at them,
okay.
Comes down.
Okay. Very cool. Oh, I'll repeat your question for the mic. Is that good? Oh, okay. I still don't have an answer for it. No, I didn't sense, and I didn't look. I just went straight from the robes up to his face and recognized him you'd recognize your mother.
Can I make clarification? Something that you really hit a point that I think that we all need to recognize. Be Jewish is not a race. You could be blonde with blue eyes. Always that's been true. It has nothing to do from all over. Jewish people, all nations. So it is not an ethnic group, a religion. It's kind of like being a Catholic doesn't make you Irish. Being a Mormon doesn't make you Danish. It is a religion. So therefore, I just wanted to clarify that Jesus
in some near-death experiences that I've read of the accounts of GSAT. Many feel that sort of the consensus is this: every experience is unique and custom designed for that person to get the message the way they need to hear it. And for some reason, I feel he was Jesus. I don't feel he was an interpretation. To me, that was Jesus. And that he came to me warm with those color of eyes because maybe on some level he thought I would respond to that better. I don't know. I think he could do anything he wants, you know? If he says, I want to have blue eyes for this woman today. You know?
I don't even have the impression on the screen that you said.
Yes.
Did I
find another religion? No. No, but I'm very spiritual, and I'm open to every religion. I'm interested in every religion, and I am more spiritual than I ever was. And growing up as a Catholic, for a time there, I was very into it. In fact, when I was 12, I wanted to be a nun. I mean, at that point, I was very religious. I'm more spiritual now than I was growing up. My faith in God cannot be shaken. I don't have to believe in Him. I know. It's like, you don't believe in Japan. You were there. You know it. So, I don't need something more than that for me to believe.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike.
No, there weren't two people. Just one. Yes. Yeah. Robes. Robe.
He was wearing robes. We have not see with our eyes, the C3 device that are so far that we have our own transcribe something that if we experience the difficulty driving that, and it isn't because we're smart or we don't have the color blue, but when you have the kind, they are so much more that you have to translate them down into something. Stand. That everything that we talk about as experience, only someone else standing right beside you and that might have seen it, might describe it differently. That in their spiritual form, they would have been seeing and having.
I think definitely that about the light. There simply are no words. Every word, even the word God, for me is a limiting word to that. The name on it is language teacher able. That implies there are no words for something that's limitless and in all dimension, love and light and ocean. It's just that blue, I thought of painting it or drawing it, and you're right. I don't think I could capture that.
When you say blue, I'm looking and seeing
fuzzies.
But the answer, you can figure it out, or maybe you...
Function, I can't... It's interesting that life coaching, helping people find their... what it is they love most to do. Assessment of talents and putting it all. I never found wanted to be a casino car salesman or, you know, something that's always been really exciting. And I kind of came to the conclusion, if everybody followed their passion, and maybe that's the whole point. And I thought that was really interesting. I definitely were here in this reality for...
I was just wondering, do you see any...
And I honestly can't say that I was dead, you know, but that's not important to me anymore. I didn't go into a heavenly realm. Grief in that sense. Since then, I'm studying about suicide, that they are very...
Well, I was just wondering, you were saying that you were terribly frightened to tell your parents you'd made a mistake, you didn't want to admit it, and the whole Catholic and getting a divorce. How did you deal with that when you came back and you had this big whoosh, you know, all of a sudden you're going, oh, great, now what? How did all of that go?
You know, it was a big problem in my mind. But when I got back, my parents said, well, how could you have put up with that man for so long? We didn't want to interfere with that. So it was like this big illusion in my head about what they think, but in reality they're going, you know, we never thought he was right for you, but we just didn't want
to. But you went suicide over that.
Yeah! That's silly. Like I say, it's a stubborn thing. The person can be really stubborn. No, damn it. No.
Damn it.
Closer to you.
I guess I'm afraid of this. Anyway, I just wanted to ask you about, and you were able to, it's something that you
Was it something that...
That's interesting that you asked that, because I've always been interested in it. I've had a very strong interest in that. I didn't see people's dreams, I just heard thoughts. They may have been awake. I just heard thoughts. What got me experience was that, for me, experiencing that, thoughts go beyond our skull. So, but the part about the dreaming, I do believe, from the dreaming, I couldn't pick out... There were so many voices, it was okay, but I couldn't pick out any legible.
World goal is questions. First of all,
originally from Los Angeles.
Question is, do you...
I think many experiencers yearn to feel it the way they felt it in the experience. Like I said, there's nothing on earth, and I think are able to maybe... somehow, if maybe through meditation, through prayer, to achieve a certain amount of love. And maybe it's an entirety for some people. I haven't been able to since then. And I haven't needed to. But there are times where, I said, you know, I really like just feel a piece. Just give me a little feeling of it, that warm feeling. And now, I always kind of get that impression that, no, it's already there. Something to bring into you, it's found inside of you. That light is up. There are experiencers who become so homesick, light, that they try to commit suicide back, and it did not have a no.
You identified the person who you met as Jesus Christ. Yeah. He tell you that we expected that to be you.
Like your mother. Nobody will convince me. Everybody. Yes. Beautiful. Yes. We dream literally and figuratively. I'll tell you, it's special experiences. We have a journal, the journal from now, represented in there. The vast majority, but the second largest majority, write about Cross Girl. They may go by different names. And we talked about each experience being having common elements that I do feel, after reading all of this, that they're designed for the person the way you're. So if you're from another religion or you're from another culture, you may have an experience that, because now I saw Jesus, I was raised in upbringing, Buddhist, that they almost never see. They will see, will come back with a belief in the life, a no fear of death, a belief that there's a purpose in life.
Makes perfect sense, because everyone that had a near-death experience came back and said we're supposed to be Catholic. Then God would have all put us in Catholic homes. So it takes our free agency away. So same way we are in different homes. Patient with the find the light on the path we were.
Thomas Mellon Benedict, very deep. I think it was he asked God what he felt was God. You know, what is the right religion? What is the correct religion?
I want everyone to hear the joy. What did you tell them?
Oh. About a year, that's another story, but how amazing coincidences that led up to me being able to...
Answered
your prayer.
Yeah,
Bert.
Sure.
You should have been the one to say. You
don't pay any attention to anything. I say it every time.
You think a little differently.
Yeah, we're all weird. You know, Berkeley stuff.
Berkeley stuff. Yeah! That is a good place. I want you to... I'll raise your hand.
Oh,
how awesome.
I'll do
if you want your hand. I'll give you Elaine.